Okay, continuing in the book of Romans, chapter 5. We had just really focusing on Abraham and faith and how faith justifies. Chapter 5 continues. And really, I would not pick up the study in the middle anywhere without having first listened to the beginning. I do it as a complete book because the book should be looked at as a whole. Because Paul did not divide his book into chapters. He sent a single letter. And I think he felt, when I say things, sometimes people say, Paul, you make things awfully complicated. And I say, yeah, I know, I kind of digress, and I kind of lay groundwork here, and I do a little here, a little there, and I just kind of, but eventually it all comes together if you look at the big picture. And I think, in a similar way, the Apostle Paul writes, as Peter says in the second epistle of Peter, many things which are hard to understand. So, I think sometimes it can be hard for people to understand. It's not hard, really. People make it hard. And sometimes things are hard to hear because we're hard of hearing and we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear the message, but still the message remains. So, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'll continue. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Sort of an initial thought here. I had to take it as a whole. I love just hearing that in one big breath, you know. It's just like, woo, wow, you know, it's just such a, it just says a story there. So by faith we are justified. Remember, faith is Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, the promises of God came to pass. We also believe God, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what causes enmity between God and man? Chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that do this. They won't do that. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used lies. The poison of asses on their lips. You know, God hates those things. God hates sin. So, the way to make peace with God is to have faith in the promises of God. Starting right off the bat, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, that whoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You start with that. Oh, I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I believe on the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the works. I believe on Jesus. Jesus is the one he's God. He's the Son of God. I believe in him. You know, and there's so much more to that. Remember how I had quoted from 2 Peter, chapter 1. All the things you add, because the promises of God, what is it? The divine power is given that you can do this, you can obtain that, you can deny ungodliness, you can deny worldly lust, you can escape the corruption as it is in this world. Those are the promises of God. And he says, add your faith. Now, and it's awesome because I just covered that in the last chapter. Now he says, hey, we have access by faith to this grace. What is grace? Grace is that favor. It is the God being gracious. He's in a giving mood. He wants to give you stuff. He wants to give. And not for, what he wants in return is you to take it. That's what he wants, and you to believe that he's going to give you the rest of the stuff he promised. I want you to take his word. That's a defend. You know, God's word means a lot to him. I mean, what he says, it's impossible for him to lie. What he says, he means it. So if he gives you a promise, he expects you to believe it. When you doubt his word, it's like insulting. You don't believe me. That is the most, it's probably the, you know what, you can, David murdered. David committed adultery, right? Saul didn't believe what God said. I mean, really, that was his, mostly what he just didn't want, the things, I mean, God said to David, God said to the law, thou shalt not kill. I mean, it was wrong. But, I mean, when God makes it, God says, I will make you king, follow me. In many ways, he manifested no faith. And that was the principal reason he was rejected. Because he says, do I delight in sacrifice more than obedience? He would not do what God had said. Which was not a grievous command. See, it's things. God doesn't ask these great big things of us. Just he says, believe me. Have faith in what I'm telling you to do. And then he gives us power to do things. See, Saul, see, what I'm mentioning there is Saul, God delivered Saul's enemies into his hand. And he says, I want you to destroy them utterly. He gave Saul the ability to do that, right? And then these people come along, and I don't know what was in Saul's heart, but Saul said, you know, hey, the people said, hey, you know, they wanted to keep the best. And he said, okay, we'll keep it, but we'll make sacrifice to God with it. Because God said, you know, and he thought, my word's better. God took that as extremely offensive because he gave him power to do it and then gave him a command. It's like if God were to give me power to accomplish it, he gives me power over drunkenness. Not just, I think I got power. I mean, he actually gives it. And then I were to go literally against that. That would be extremely insulting to him. God forbid I had ever committed anything like that. Sometimes I feel like, oh, but because you have a good run, you think, oh, God gave me the power, right? And maybe you think, oh, but then you sin again and you think, did I just pull a Saul or something? And you know what? I still believe in the promises of God. Even if I'm not faithful, he abides faithful. See, when you try, and that's when you continue in faith, he does not fail you. Because, see, to people who he rejects, he doesn't give it to them to continue in faith. They give up. And then, I'll just give up forever. That's just the way it's going. I guess I failed. God's never going to accept me again. I went back to XYZ.